From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi, I'm Shavik Das.
I'm Leslie DeMonte.
And I'm Deepthi Ahuja. You're listening to Mint Etc.,
a podcast where we will talk about important developments in technology and how they will transform our lives, work, and play as we know it.
This is a special episode brought to you by F5. 2023 was undoubtedly a breakthrough year for generative AI. It was the year that AI officially became a household name. However, with continuous advancements of technology, the dangers linked to data breaches and cyber threats are escalating. Hi, I'm Deepthi Ahuja, head of content at HD Smartcast and also your host on Mint Etc. Today, we are discussing cybersecurity and cybercrime. Both of these issues are inseparable. They need to be addressed together because over the past decade, we have witnessed multiple cases of theft, financial losses, and data breaches. In 2022 alone, India witnessed 1.39 million cybersecurity cases. Isn't that shocking? To discuss this further, we have with us Mr. Dhananjay Ganju. He's the Managing Director for India and SAARC at F5. A veteran in the industry, Dhananjay is responsible for driving F5's growth strategy in India and the SAARC region. He's responsible for bringing end-to-end solutions and competitive security offerings together. All this so that F5 becomes a preferred choice for customers to create, secure, and operate adaptive solutions. Hi, Dhananjay. Welcome to TechCetra. How are you today?
Hi, Deepthi. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure.
To start with, Dhananjay, I want to ask you, what are some of the most common cybersecurity threats and how can enterprises safeguard themselves from these kind of threats?
So Deepthi, let's first try to understand what are we trying to protect before we discuss what are the most common cyber threats. There are many, there are countless number of cyber threats. But the essence is, what are we really trying to protect? And for that, let me give you a very interesting analogy. It's a very simple analogy. I'm sure your listeners will enjoy it. Don't hold me to, you know, binding that analogy totally to technology, but it's an analogy that works. You'll not forget it. So today morning when you left home, you know, you got dressed and you stepped out of your home, you locked your door and you gave it a little tug and you said, oh yeah, everything is locked up. I can leave my home now, right? Yeah. Now, when a thief, God forbid, but if a thief were to come, let me ask you a question. Is your thief interested in your front door?
No.
Exactly, right? And when you left, before you left, did you lock up your cash, your jewelry inside a locker and you put that inside a cupboard and you lock the cupboard too, right?
Yeah.
Because your key assets are your cash and jewelry, not your front door.
Right.
And the thief, when they want to break down the door, they want your key assets, which you haven't left on your center table.
Yep.
You've locked them up as well. So you've done like double locking. So cybersecurity works pretty much in a layered fashion. You lock your front door, you lock your key assets such as your cash and jewelry before you leave your home. So in the cyber world, the cyber attackers or the hackers are literally not interested in your front door. So what is the front door in the cyber world? That's your network. They are interested in breaking down the network, but they gain nothing out of it. There is zero financial gain for the hacker. And let me also explain, hackers are not doing it for fun of it. Hackers are doing to gain some financial outcome out of that. And whatever hackers do also costs them money. It costs compute. They have to, you know, get compute from various places or at least hack into someone else's computer and use that compute. They pay for bandwidth charges. They do exactly whatever we do. They pay exactly whatever we pay. It's just that they multiply it so many times over that the cost of an attack for a hacker has to be lesser than the financial gain. Because if the cost of the attacker is equal to the financial gain, there is nothing in it for the hacker, right?
Right.
So exactly. So what is more desirable for a hacker to come? To break down the front door or get your key assets? And then we'll discuss what are the key assets. It's like Okay, you've broken down the network, but your key assets are your applications.
Yeah.
Right? That's what the hackers are after, because they can either steal away personal information and sell that on the dark web, or they can game the logic of the application. Like, one of the most frequently exploited logic is forgot password.
Yeah.
Right? You forget your password and then you
that
have a little...
That happens so often.
Correct. And then people use different mechanisms. Somebody will send you an OTP. Somebody will ask you to, you know, enter a few codes that you personally have on you. And to be honest with you, I don't want to scare, but all of this can be broken.
Hmm.
Right? So the hacker is after your application. That's what we want to establish first.
Hmm.
Right? Some of the names of common attacks that you must have heard as well are ransomware or DDoS, which is denial of service. Denial of service is like when a massive attack comes in a pipe, which is an internet-facing application pipe, it basically, the server that is on which the application is hosted is now busy responding to these massive amount of requests which are coming to the server. That's a denial of service because you're denying somebody else the opportunity to log in into the server because you've kept the server so busy by yourself, right? So that's denial of service. That's very, very common. I think the number of denial of service attacks in India are now massively increasing. Secondly, are bots, right? So HTTPS traffic is the web traffic. 80% of that traffic is machine. It's not human beings.
Correct.
What we need to determine is whether anybody who's coming into our network, is it a human being or is it a machine? That's the first question typically that is asked. And if it's a human being, allow the human being. And if it's a machine, decide whether it's a good bot or a bad bot. And there are various techniques to determine that. So when you allow a human being to come in, then you got to figure out whether what is the intent of this human being, right? That's the second check. And again, you look through various signals and decide, okay, this looks like a human being. And then you allow the human being further. And when the human being comes in, you have to do a third and final check. Is it Deepthi? Is it who you really say you are? Is it Deepthi or is it a synthetic identity and a stolen identity of Deepthi? You look like Deepthi, but you aren't. Hence, what's your intention? So these are various kind of layered defenses that organizations build. And the most common attacks, the one that is becoming extremely popular as a discussion with our customers is APIs. And I'll give you a quick, a very simple example. I don't know, do you use Cred or Paytm or Google Pay?
Yes, of course. We all do, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And our generation's going cashless.
Exactly. And I'm glad they are. It increases my business. So have you ever thought that when you installed Cred, how does Cred get your bank balance? Or how does GPA get your bank balance? Well, what happened was Cred asked you only once, saying, hey, will you allow me to go to your bank, query your bank, and allow your bank to give me your bank balance? And you said yes once, and that's
it.
Finished.
All of these things are so intricately weaved into the terms and conditions that we all just randomly
say, yes,
oh my God, we need to make a payment right now.
Correct.
But then we don't look at these terms and conditions. We just say yes, 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 you know, just out of irritation.
So what is making this happen? How does Cred get access to your bank? How does GPay or Paytm or PhonePay get access to your bank? Because you've allowed it, right?
Yeah.
And what is the technology that is making it happen? It's called API.
Right.
Right? Application Programming Interface, APIs.
Right.
So there are the API traffic in the world today is much larger and greater and exponentially growing than any other traffic. So cyber attackers are, you know, it's like API world is like a honeypot. They get attracted to wherever there is more action.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So
true.
API is the new flavor of the world for hackers. And there are various techniques that hackers can insert themselves and, you know, build shadow APIs. When we go to organizations and ask organizations saying, do you know how many APIs you have? And some of them know, most of them don't. And API protection is now, or API attacks is now on the rise. So to answer your question in a very longish way,
well, you did mention API, but then, you know, companies are also transforming digitally, right? So how do you think digital transformation is impacting the overall cybersecurity in India and also across the world?
I love stories, Deepthi. Let me tell you another one. Interesting one, right? This is just to make sure that we understand what we are trying to protect. So let's go back 200 years ago, right? So in the year 1800 something, when companies measured their assets on their balance sheet, what were they using as a, you know, a yardstick for measurement or putting them up? They used to, you know, count all the buildings that they have.
Yeah.
They count all the machineries, how many multiple offices, physical assets that they have across the continents, right? So it was more of the physical assets and then the goods you sold were put on your balance sheet. And that made you either a heavyweight or a lightweight. That era of the world was measured in what we call as physical capital. That was the era of physical capital. Then in the mid-1900s, you had the IBMs and the McKinseys and the HPs of the world introduce and give you business process engineering and compute. And we increased the overall efficiency of business and became faster at doing things because of these added benefits, right? That era in the mid-1900s was directly proportional to the human intellect that made it happen. And hence, that era is called human capital.
Right.
Right? Now, in the 21st century, what is the key capital of the customer? And that's something that we should think about. The key capital, in very simple terms, is we are establishing connection through an application called Zoom. Organizations, they work using applications. So if at any time an application of an organization were to go down, the organization collapses. And you can look at any industry across the world today. Any industry, small to big, everybody is using applications.
Right.
And if the application were to shut down, even before the CEO comes to know, the whole Twitter world explodes.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that the currency of today is data.
That is the currency. But your capital is your application.
Achha, capital is my application.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like physical capital, human capital, application capital.
Application capital. Okay.
It's the application which is generating all the data. Data is a byproduct of the application. But yes, equally important, they say data is the new oil. But who is generating that? Right? It's the application which is generating all that data once you've captured it. Right?
Right.
So we are living in the world of application capital. And hence, what we have done is we have exposed ourselves to the internet because that's the only way to do business today. Or one of the most important ways of doing business today is to keep your shop open 24/7. And when you expose your assets to the internet, you expose yourself to multiple threats. There is a long list of threats that we can go over, but let me give you another interesting thought process for your listeners. One is, how much money do we spend out of our budget to protect our applications versus how much money do we spend to protect our front door, and where are the hackers going? So it's a bit of a crazy situation right now. When we look at the budget spends of organizations, 80% of the budget is spent on infrastructure.
Right.
Building the network, building all the pipes, connecting the pipes to the internet. And about 20% is spent on other stuff. Now, 80% of the attackers are coming to your application, but only 20% of the budget is left to safeguard your application. So the message to the learners, to the listeners are, listen, it's important to take a balance of your budget and pay equal attention to the applications, which are your life today, in today's application economy, and then balance that out and not spend everything out only on your front door. Keep something for the locker in which you want to keep your, you know, family jewels.
Right.
If you want me to continue, there could be things like automated attacks, advanced persistent threats, ransomware, phishing, deep fakes that you've been listening all these
and
celebrities.
And I'm going to come to that next. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So generative AI is evolving at a breakneck speed. You know, everyone has access to it. Everyone is using it in daily life. We are using it at this point of time ourselves. How is AI affecting cybersecurity, and what are some of the risks, emerging risks rather, that have come up because of it?
So AI can be used for, you know, both good and bad things. To start with the bad, you don't have to be an expert hacker anymore. You can go to the dark, pick up a botnet for a few dollars. So some other expert has written a tool and you're exploiting that tool to launch attacks. That's just one of the small uses that AI, or well, the misuse of AI, which is happening rather than the use. So the good part, however, is a lot of companies like ourselves use artificial intelligence to detect zero-day attacks. Now, zero-day attack means that nobody has a signature of that attack and it's going to make some impact. But a large part of the network can be saved, a large part of the geographies and other IP addresses can be saved, because now what the AI tool has done is learned the signature and has quickly populated that signature automatically without human intervention to other protecting devices, saying, if you see in your geography this attack, prevent it because it's bad. So that's another interesting use of artificial intelligence. In terms of number of attacks, there are several, like automated attacks or advanced persistent threats, which is a lot of your assets get attacked simultaneously in several geographies. Phishing attacks that you've already heard of. Always check the URL that you're clicking. Don't believe the URL that you click in terms of phishing attacks. It makes you look as if you're clicking the real one, but it's not. Deep fakes are in the news these days. You've heard of celebrities talking about it. They can be misused massively. Insider threats are equally important to protect ourselves from. So spreading knowledge within our own community is extremely important. So doing simple and commonsensical things when dealing with the internet is probably the best way to avoid attacks.
Interesting. You know, India is very different from other countries, right? It's diverse. It has small businesses, large businesses, enterprises. The business landscape is as varied as can be. So how does F5 cater to, specific needs of different kinds of businesses?
It boils down to two things. One is efficacy of the solution that F5 has, and the format in which it can be consumed. In the world that we used to live in the past, just recent past, everything was inside the data center, and our kind of appliances were being used inside the data center of a client, like it was a hardware big box that was sitting right next to the application and protecting the biggest asset that you have, which is your application. But as customers digitally transformed, they moved to the cloud, and so did we. So we converted our boxes into a piece of code and we followed the application around. So today, without actually anything lesser in terms of the code, in terms of feature and functionality, so whatever feature and functionalities a customer used to get out of an appliance, the same is available in a code that can follow the application wherever the application is going, either on private cloud or on public cloud or different data centers that are available. So we can follow them as a piece of code. The good part is the efficacy is the same, syntax is the same, no relearning, no retraining, everything's cool. The other thing that has happened in the world is they said, I don't want to buy such a big technology because I'm only good. By the time I completely use this technology, it will be 3 years. So we developed what is called a as a service model. So today I only want to protect one asset. I don't have to buy a big box that can protect thousands of assets. So okay, fine. You can protect that big the big asset that you have by what in the technical language it's called, or www.something.something is called a URL. So we can now filter down to a single URL that you want to protect, or thousands of URL that a company wants to protect. So in a as a service model, you pay only for that much you're consuming. So now F5 is able to offer its platform in different consumption models, making it simpler for the SMB, SME, or even very small organizations to consume technology, which is number one in terms of application protection, and not having to buy or invest a lot of money. The other thing I would say, there's one important point I want to make for especially large organizations.
Sure.
Security is not about a product. When we do cybersecurity, it's never about a product. And I can give you a couple of examples. One of the examples that I usually give is, everybody has access to a canvas, a paint, and a paintbrush, but not everybody is an artist, right? Similarly, if I have access to a great technology like protecting cyber threats from cyber criminals, unless and until there are people who know how to deploy and effectively use that technology, having that technology is not enough, not good enough, right? So I'll give you two examples. One was a government entity where they were under a massive DDoS attack, denial of service to its servers. And we onboarded them. F5 can onboard. It's a free service for our customers. We can either onboard in an emergency or start protecting them in an emergency. But the key thing was the teams behind were very effective. They knew how to use the tools that we have. So having trained resources that know the tool is very important. Second was a bank that was under a bot attack. And we were doing a POC with that bank, and the bank said, hey, listen, hold on. Can you let the POC continue and move from being only in inform mode to remediate mode, which basically means earlier we were just flagging that you are under a bot attack and not doing anything about it. Yeah. And then they said, listen, why don't you remediate and protect us and stop the attack? When we started stopping the attack, the hackers retooled consistently over a period of time.
Yeah.
And then they gave up because we made their attack more expensive. Right. For 3-4 days, they kept on trying. Then a week later, they came back again. And a week later, they came back again. Eventually, they give up. They only give up for a certain period of time before they come back again. So it's like, you know, we have to be right always. They have to be right once kind of a scenario.
Sounds like Art of War. These just sound like lessons from Art of War.
You know, I keep telling anybody I meet, if it's too good to be true, it's definitely, you know, the other way around. So don't believe anything which is too good to be true. And if it's like really unbelievable, then it's unbelievable. It's not happened. Just suspect everything. I remember one of my army friends telling me, in God we trust, everything else we suspect. We are exactly in the same environment. And just suspect everything. It should be, your indicator should be, just believe it's not true rather than believing it the other way around. Don't click anything. Don't download anything. Don't take anything free. It's definitely infected.
And on that very suspicious note, we come to the end of this episode. Whether you're an individual or you're an enterprise, being attentive, proactive, you know, all of these will come handy while protecting your digital assets, your data, which is clearly a currency these days. We hope that this conversation has provided you with some clarity and some solutions. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we'll see you soon.
So folks, that's it for this episode. You are listening to Mint Tech Cetera.
You can reach out to us on LinkedIn if you have any questions. Our handles are in the description.
This episode was produced by me, Deepthi Ahuja. It was edited by Amrinder Singh. Catch you next week.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HT Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.